August body to order on this Sunday morning. And for once, I feel really good because the only thing I had to drink last night at hospitality was 7-Up. So I'm feeling good. And I went to bed early because the banquet was done quickly. So, okay. It's so good to see Gussie Morgan back here. It just brought a smile to my face. To have us with her with us again, we just, you know, feel for all that Gussie has been through, and the whole time she's just been such a strong member of this organization, and it's great to have her back. And to lead us in our Sunday invocation, here we have Gussie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I feel good at getting back, too, because I really miss you guys. You feel like family to me, and when I'm not here, I was thinking about the convention as it went on.
Yes.
And I am so glad to be here today. To some of you don't know, my husband passed, but he had cancer. But still, one day at a time, I'm making it. So I thank God for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you. We thank you because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the meeting today. We thank you for CCB and all its members and the kindness that they have been showing, not only to me, but to others also. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one as they head home, as they go in their cars and on the planes and on the buses, that you will keep them in safety and get them home safe, Lord. We pray for the sick that you might touch their bodies this morning. We pray for the bereaved that you may heal their hearts this morning. We pray for our president and all of the staff that work so hard with us and to help us get things together and to give information to us. We pray, Lord, especially for Ed and his workers in Jesus' name. Touch each and every one this morning. With these blessings we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gussie. That was beautiful, and we hope to see you many, many more times in the future. Okay. Let's now go to the first order of business, which will be our business meeting minutes, and we may have two. I don't know exactly what Gabe has up his hat, or wherever he keeps it. So let's turn to our secretary, Gabe Griffith.
Okay, we have, is there any way to raise this? Give me just a minute, folks. I'm still trying to find the right document here. Okay, we're going to start by reading the spring 2009 business minutes, since I did not have those at the fall convention. So here we go. Spring 2009 business meeting minutes. Sacramento Arden West Hilton Hotel. Credentials report. Beginning Friday night. Rob Turner, credentials committee chair, gave the credentials report, including a chapter name, number of members, number of votes, delegate, alternate delegate, and nominating committee representative. There were, I had down here the count of six chapters not represented. It was moved and seconded to accept the credentials committee report. The motion passed unanimously. A discussion of procedures for getting chapter information submitted followed. A motion was made and seconded to have the president or designee contact chapters who are not represented at conventions and let them know they are missed. The motion passed unanimously. Reports. Eric Bridges gave the ACB report discussing legislation dealing with quiet cars, television audio description, and more. Jeff Tom then gave the CCB president's report covering membership, fundraising strategies, and more. Special election. There was a special election held to fill the office of second vice president. Donna Pomerantz was nominated and elected by acclamation for this office. There was then an election for the seat on the board of directors to fill Donna's vacant position, vacant seat. After several rounds, Linda Perel was elected by majority vote. Business minutes. Gabe Griffith, CCB secretary, read the minutes for the fall 2008 business meeting. It was moved and seconded to accept the fall 2008 business meeting minutes. The motion passed. Treasurer's report. Chris Gray gave the treasurer's report. Chris said that in 2008 we were 31% over the projected income from savings, CDs, and interest. The projected income for 2009 is $281,750. We are continuing to investigate new sources of income. The projected spending for 2009 is $336,006. It was moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed unanimously. Constitution and bylaws. Jerry Consler presented two amendments. The first dealt with moving to a once-a-year convention. The second dealt with residency requirements for CCB members. It was moved and seconded to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Resolutions. Gabe Griffith, Resolutions Chair, gave the Resolutions Committee report. For a summary of the resolutions, please see the resolutions summary attached to the will attach to these minutes. It was moved and seconded to accept the Resolutions Committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Committee reports. Artist Bazin requested email addresses for anyone who would like to sign up for the membership email listserv. Bernice Kandarian mentioned that they would like to transition the Blind Californian to an audio or data CD format. Kathy Skivers mentioned that the Governmental Affairs Committee is working on several issues, and Frank Welty will keep everyone up to date through the legislative report. The committee is also asking for one representative from each chapter to contact Frank to be a representative for that chapter. There was no old business. There was no new business. The fall convention will be in Fresno from October 29th through November 1st. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the spring convention, and the motion passed. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, CCB Secretary.
All right. Thank you. Do we have a motion for acceptance of the minutes?
No.
Do we have a second? And we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion, amendments, deletions, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, this would be the fall 2009 CCB business meeting in minutes that I would like to report, report are actually being submitted on time for once for me. Not too bad. Okay, credentials. Rob Turner read the credentials report. There were four affiliates that were not seated at this convention. Due to some miscommunications, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California group did not have a roster in. Since the number of members does not affect the number of votes, there was a discussion surrounding seating this affiliate. It was moved and seconded to seat RSVC. The motion passed. It was moved and seconded to accept the full credentials committee report. The motion passed. Constitutional amendment. There was a discussion at the Friday evening meeting regarding whether to hold the vote on the proposed constitutional amendment to go to one convention a year at the same time as the discussion on Saturday, or to hold the vote until the Sunday business meeting. It was moved and seconded to hold the vote during the Saturday discussion. The motion passed. On Saturday, after the discussion on the proposed single annual convention constitutional amendment, there was a vote on the amendment. It was moved and seconded to adopt the constitutional amendment. The motion failed on a roll call vote. Elections. Donna Pomerantz was elected to the office of second vice president by acclamation. Gabe Griffith was elected to the office of secretary by acclamation. Jerry Arakawa was elected to a board seat by acclamation. Peter Pardini was elected to a board seat by acclamation. Foster Brown was elected to a board seat by acclamation. Dan Kaiser was elected to the board after a roll call vote requiring a runoff election. Linda Perrell was elected to a board seat by acclamation. Treasurer's report. Chris Gray discussed the 2009 budget. He went over a projected budget versus actual spending document. CCB has spent a little more than had been projected, but our investments are doing much better than they have in recent years. Kathy Skivers asked Chris to bring the figures of how much of our assets are restricted and how much are unrestricted. There was then a discussion of investment policies. Chris informed the membership that there is a draft 2008 audit available to look over. It was moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed. Frank Welty gave his governmental affairs report, constitution and bylaws. There was a second constitutional amendment proposed to change the constitution to eliminate the residential requirement to become a CCB member. It was moved and seconded to adopt this proposed amendment. The motion passed. Resolutions. Gabe Griffith, resolutions chair, gave the resolutions committee report. For a summary of the resolutions, please see the summary of fall resolutions attached to these minutes. It was moved and seconded to accept the resolutions committee report. The motion passed. There was no old business. There was also no new business. It was then moved and seconded to adjourn the convention. The motion passed. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, CCB Secretary.
All right. Thank you very much. Do we have a motion to adopt the minutes? Accept the minutes, I think. Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion, amendments, deletions, corrections? Yes, they certainly are. They definitely are. 100 members strong. Well, not here, but that's what their affiliate is. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Abstentions? The amendments are adopted. Gabe, thank you very much, and we'll hear from you a little bit more later. We'll have the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, everybody. I cannot say, as our president did, that I only had 7 up last night, but at least I'm here. And prepared to do a treasurer's report. You can all hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. It's great to have you all back in the Bay Area. Hope you've had a nice weekend. And it's been, from my perspective, a pretty darn good convention with all of your participation. Thank you for that. By way of introduction, let me say that a few things I said at the board meeting, but maybe you all weren't at the board meeting, so I'll repeat some highlights. The 2008 audit is complete, and Jeff and I have signed all the letters and paperwork. There is some work ongoing to determine how to implement some of the auditor's recommendations in the audit letter, and that will be ongoing, but I want to assure you that it is occurring. We have a draft agreement, and we'll probably sign letters early this coming week after the office recovers from the convention for the 2009 audit. And Jeff and I both have every reason to believe that the audit will be complete by mid to late summer. That'll be nice. It'll be nice to have our 2009 audit done in a timely manner, and we all strive for that, and we've pretty much gotten there, I think. We're undertaking some minor but important, especially for the board, reorganization of our income and expense categories. I'll be in Sacramento in 2 weeks working with our accountant and perhaps consulting with our auditors as well on that issue. And after that, we hope to be able to bring to the board, perhaps not monthly, but certainly quarterly reports that show our spending and income patterns based on the budget adopted by the board Thursday for 2010. That's going to be a useful thing to do. It's going to help people understand where we're going in a more timely manner, and I think that everybody's happy to see that happening. Now then, as to the year 2009, our income for 2009 was $222,504. That was slightly less than we had hoped and projected, and actually, you know, this was not a kind year for nonprofits. Wasn't a kind year for a lot of people financially. And but on the other hand, while that was less than we had hoped to bring in, it did represent 79% of what we thought we'd bring in. And so we have to keep a positive face on this and recognize that all things considered, we didn't do very bad. Now, our total expenses for the year were $355,158. This was a slight increase over what we had hoped to spend, but actually only a 5.7% increase, so not really a disaster. In fact, I want to say that I commend our staff, and certainly your president and I worked hard to minimize expense where we could. But I think that to stay within 5% of your expenses is pretty darn good. So we did well for the year, all, you know, considering everything, and we knew that we were going to be spending at a deficit. This year, once again, we're spending at a deficit. However, we are spending at a far smaller deficit than we spent in 2009. So we're making strides forward to stay within our means, which is important, but not to significantly damage the basic budgetary needs of CCB to be a strong and a vital organization. I want to leave you with a figure that should make you feel good about things, to some extent anyway. And while it's true that we made less than we thought, and we spent more than we thought, and we spent at a deficit, many would say those are all things we shouldn't do. And yet we know that there are certain years when you have to do those things if you're going to maintain the basics of the California Council of the Blind. We want to do that. In 2007 and 2008, we took a beating like everybody else with our investments, our stocks, bonds, whatever, and we're hoping to make a lot of that money back. And the more that we make back, the stronger we are as an organization. So while I know that I'm concerned and our board is concerned, and perhaps you are too, at some of our spending and the fact that we're struggling to find new income resources, we bounced back in 2009 on our investments, money we're not touching right now, but money that we have invested and that will be the long-term security of CCB. We bounced back on those investments $190,000. Now, folks, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And we held the line. We did not touch those investments, so we didn't realize any of the loss that we took in 2007 and 2008. So I'm optimistic. I hope you are, too. We have new income initiatives in the pipeline, thanks to our president and actions of the board. I hope that next year maybe I can give you a budget that does not run a deficit, or income that is higher. That's our goal. And, Mr. President, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Okay. You've heard the report. Are there, let's have a motion for acceptance of the report. There's a motion and a second. Are there questions or discussion? Okay.
Thanks, Dirk Neihardt from Berkeley. What were the audit recommendations that have not yet been implemented? Two, what was the rate of return? You said we have an extra $180,000 that had previously disappeared, but is that up 20%, 40%, 60%? What is that rate? And third, it would be wonderful to have the coming audit report posted to our website. Thank you.
Okay, Dirk. The rate of return, I don't have the exact number here in my stuff here at the convention. However, it is I think it's fair to say that the rate of return is approximately 20% on our investments. As far as publishing the audit, that could be a dicey business. It's long, it's tedious. It may not be the best use of space, for example, in the Blind Californian. We do publish, you know, our annual figures about what we about income and expense. To the extent that an audit is a public document, anyone is certainly free to request a copy. And the auditor did provide us about 10 of those copies, great big documents that probably Ed would like to get one or two of out of the office. I don't know. But, you know, the audit certainly is information that people can ask about and find out about in CCB. With regard to the recommendations of the auditors, the auditors did not necessarily make specific recommendations in many cases. They pointed out issues that they believe CCB will be stronger if we address. We certainly agree that these things need to be looked at carefully and addressed. I'm not prepared today to go into detail about that. Perhaps our secretary will help me by making a note in the minutes. Certainly, it would be my intention to inform the membership in far more detail about the auditor's recommendations, which have come very quickly, one behind the other, in the 2007 and 2008 audit. And as I said, I'm going to Sacramento in 2 weeks to meet with our accountant and perhaps the auditor. I don't know yet. We plan to have as many of those recommendations addressed or in progress so that the 2009 audit, when it comes out in the summer, will be able to reflect what we've done with regard to the auditor's commentary for 2007-2008. But, Dirk, I'm really not in a position today to address those specifics. I'll be happy to do it, but if you can wait till the fall, or if you can call me on a personal basis in say mid-May, I'd be happy to do it then.
Mr. Treasurer?
Yes.
We have no time at these meetings to hear a detailed report of all the work you do and all that the board reviews and sees all the time, but I think for the board, we've already asked, and I think for all of us, I think we should make it a standard practice to have our assets, the total worth of how much we have. It's okay to say we made this back, we lost that much, that's fine. But what I want to know when I get ready to do my household budget is, how much is here? What have we got? And if you could break out for us the total amount of assets that we have, and then kind of separate out the couple that we can't use, for example, the Ellen Murphy Fund. It's an asset, but it's used for a specific purpose. If it would help the board, it would help all of our members, I'm sure, and you could tell us exactly, you know, what that is. Because there's no doubt about it, we have to do some fundraising, but I think it's easier to do when you know how much you need it. And I feel pretty sure if you show us the assets and what we have that we can't use and what we can, I think people will get behind us because we can do anything we want to do when we set our mind to it, and we can raise some money. But I would appreciate that happening. And I'm not making a motion because the board already said that we wanted that for the board, but I would like that to be a part of our report that you make to us at conventions. And if you need a motion to get that done, I'll be happy to do it. But it would be a suggestion, a recommendation of mine that we do that.
Great, great. No, well, I don't need a motion. I'm happy to do it. We have produced reports like that, as you know, in the past. We didn't for this convention. And part of the reason, although not entirely the reason, I mean, partly we produced several reports and we just didn't think to do that. Probably we should have thought to do that. So I take that under advisement, Kathy, and thank you. The other reason is that as part of the work of the 2008 audit, we've had a really extended conversation with the auditor and with our accountant about designations of funds. So there are some pots of money out there we can use as we need to, certain CDs, certain other kinds of money. Then there's what we've kind of thought of before as restricted funds. But it turns out we've learned from the auditor, and maybe this is new and we just didn't know it. Maybe we just didn't know it and it's always been true. I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But we learned that there are different kinds of restricted funds. There are funds that are permanently restricted. There are funds that are restricted by the board, but that the board could have discretion to unrestrict at a certain point. And when I do produce the next report, those delineations will be a part of that report. And we haven't had that level of detail before. But no, I totally agree. I hear what you're saying, and we're working toward that. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions or discussion?
Yes.
Hearing none?
Yes.
Oh, there is. I'm sorry.
Mike's coming.
I think there should be a motion made that is a requirement.
Okay. All right. This is Jacqueline Jackson, San Diego Brow Club.
Okay, wait. Steve, I think Steve was first. So, Steve, did you make a motion that the treasurer's report should include the complete assets?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second that the treasurer's report include, and it doesn't have to have a breakdown of all the individual assets, I hope, because that would make the treasurer's report into something very lengthy. But the treasurer's report include the assets of the organization. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Okay, Jacqueline.
Yes, I have a question about our expenditures. Do we have corporate credit cards, line of credits? We have loans. Can we expend more than we take in? There's an indebtedness, and how are we taking care of that? Where did that money come from?
We handle these kind of things in a couple different ways. We have corporate credit cards, but we do not spend more than we make in a given year based on increasing credit debt.
Okay.
And we do not do it based on drawing down a line of credit.
Okay.
We spend more than we make by liquidating assets the organization has previously accrued.
Okay.
So, in other words, we've got some CDs out there that we have spent down in the last 2 or 3 years, some to zero, some to far less than they were before. So we've decreased our liquid or semi-liquid assets.
Okay.
And that's a bad thing in a way. But we certainly have not gone out and borrowed and are paying interest. We may be losing interest, but that's a different issue. I hope that helps.
I would just only add to that, and I think this is true at least as far back as Kathy, we have never paid one dime of interest on a credit card. Never. Doesn't mean we don't use them. It just means we pay our bills immediately because that's
right.
Something that's been sort of an unwritten rule. Mm-hmm. For one thing, we had American Express, and we now have switched to B of A, but it's sort of an unwritten rule that we pay all of our bills on time, and that way we don't have to worry about interest.
And I think...
I think a good way to make it really simple to understand, it's simple for me anyway, of course I'm simple anyhow, but I think a simple way to think of it is what we have been doing, Jackie and others, what we've been actually doing and not liquidating. We have liquidated in a way, but you could think of it, we're using our savings. That's what it is. We have had money that we have accumulated, and when the bills are more than we have money, you do what you do. If you're lucky enough to have some money in the back there, you go and get it. And that's what we've been doing. And I think, Chris, it would be helpful if you could tell us, you know, in a year, this year we used $100,000, which we have, I believe. I think I'm correct. We've used a 100,000 CD of ours. It's gone away. We've used some other money, and so far we're able to do that. But you can see the reason we've really got to raise money, because you can't only go to the bank so many times, even if it's your own bank, and by and by the bank will be empty. So I think just think of it as we're using our savings.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, so the treasurer's report is adopted.
Accepted.
I'm sorry. Chris always corrects me on that, and I always forget. But he won't have to correct me more than one more convention. Then I can correct other people. And will. That's right. Okay, since you...
Mr. President?
Yes.
I might just make one tiny remark. You know, I'm happy to present any report anybody wants to hear. In terms of a report about what we might have liquidated or not liquidated, I think the answer is pretty easy on that one. You simply look at how much more you spent than you made, and you know the answer. And I don't say that to say that I don't want to make a report to the group, but if you want that data quickly, that's how you can figure it out.
Okay. And of course, the last thing to liquidate is securities in this era, because now securities are making large percentages. So we're doing whatever we can to get rid of cash when we have to, rather than securities. Roger, did we have a meeting? Unfortunately, Jerry was unable to be here. He had a conflict. But Jerry Consler, our Constitution and Bylaws Chair, he will be back with us in San Diego. Jerry, does the committee meet? Does it have a report?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
The committee, as is our custom, convened at the appropriate place and time so as to allow people at the convention to come before us and talk to us about any constitutional concerns they may have. The meeting turned out to be a very nice and enjoyable conversation between me and Mary Beth and nothing more. So I don't have any other report except to say that Mary Beth and I agreed that there are some housekeeping issues that we want to attend to, such as making sure that the published Constitution is up to date and reflects the last changes. I discovered that the one I have that I was using isn't, but I don't know that I don't know whether the one on the web is right up to date and all that kind of stuff. So, and then, you know, there's always little nitpicky things in the Constitution that we can maybe look at while we're... I think that we felt that given last convention's activity that folks are a little bit constitutioned out at the moment. So anyway, that's all I have to report, Mr. Chairman.
All right. We will definitely work with your committee on making sure that the Constitution is updated. And it was suggested to me today by Kathy that every board member be given a copy. And so we will update the Constitution and provide it to every member of the board in their format at some point long before the next convention. Once things settle down, that will be one of our to-do chores.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can.
I hate to say anything because Ed has to run around. But anyway, we were talking today. I think that it's kind of been a practice through the years that we have dropped the lowest two if they were really low. But I think don't remember seeing anything in the Constitution that clarified just exactly what we should do when you have four or five or half a dozen people run, and then obviously they don't all win. So maybe if the committee could make clarification of that while we're working on the Constitution so that we don't have to do everything again. It was a past practice, but I just want to see if it needs to be put into the Constitution, just how to drop it so that isn't, because sometimes when it gets midnight and you're still trying to have an election, people get a little touchy, and it'd be good if we had that all clear.
Yeah, the committee can determine whether we want to do a convention rules or a bylaw or whatever. Certainly not in the Constitution, I don't think, but it could be a bylaw or a convention rule or whatever. The committee can look at that.
And then, of course, the nominating committee would be a different issue than
four. That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Good. Chris wants the floor.
Yeah, I would just say as a comment and then leave it up to the committee to decide. But, probably in CCB we ought to start doing as we have done in ACB and have convention rules and have a certain number of committees make their reports before we transact business and so forth, because that would be much more in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I wonder...
Back off a little bit and state your name.
Lisa Gordon. Sorry about that. I don't know that this would be a constitutional issue, but more of a convention rule issue. Is there a reason that elections need to happen last when people are a little more touchy? Is there a reason that that elections couldn't happen somewhere in the middle where you have the greatest turnout and where people's nerves aren't quite as raw?
That's really something I would not want to have as under the purview of the Constitution or anything, but we could certainly take that to the convention committee and they could look at that and decide whether we need to change anything or stick with what we've got. There's certainly ways to change it if we so chose. Okay, any other questions of relating to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to accept the report that Roger provided to us?
So move that we accept the report.
It was already done, already seconded. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. And abstentions. All right, thank you very much. Okay, before we go on any further to our next item, because I do want to do the convention format now before we get to resolutions, I want to, because I know some people are going to have to leave and some staff members are going to have to leave, I want to take the time now to thank so many people who make this convention really run. And I know I'm going to forget some people, but I'll try to get to them all. But first, I want to thank someone who is attending what will likely be his last convention. Our video man, Jared Walsh. Let's hear it for Jared. Jared is, I talked to Jared a lot last time, but this time I've just hardly had a chance to chat with him. In fact, we rode up together last time to Fresno. And Jared, I understand, is off on a short mission to the Dominican Republic, and after that he will be on a mission in Missouri. And so we will really miss him, and we hope if you're ever out in California in the spring or the fall that you'll pay us a visit just to say hello, Jared. So let's hear it for Jared. I want to also recognize, and as far as we know, she will be back with us because we love her dearly, Teresa Santiago, our other... That's right. We definitely do. So we will hope to see her in San Diego. She's just what an extraordinary pair they've been. And now we have to recruit somebody to replace Jared to work with her. So we'll have to get to work on that. I want to thank one of our board members, Mr. Kaiser. I want to thank Dan for doing all the streaming. And Ann for helping out and doing it at the banquet. So let's give a shout out to those guys. They came in at the last minute when Ken Metz was unable unable to come. And if you're listening, Ken, you better improve quickly because we want you here in the fall. So let's get moving. I want to thank all of our wonderful volunteers, not only the ones that came from the local areas, who I obviously can't name, the sororities, Sarah and Tina, the pioneers locally, and Sarah, who always comes from Sacramento, wherever we are, just about, Sarah and Anir. I want to thank Mary Lou and Pinky, who've been here with us for how many years? Just two incredible ladies. And of course, boy, the work that Lily and Ed and Frank at this convention as well do, it's really exhausting. They just put in so much time, and things run very efficiently. I want to give a shout out to Gene as well. He does a tremendous amount of work over especially the last month, getting everything together as a convention coordinator. And I certainly think that I hope that he continues under whoever is the next president, because it would be my recommendation that we can't have a better person to put programs together and to make sure that the transportation quirks work and to the myriad of details that have to be worked out and to help staff and to do all the wonderful things. So I know I've forgotten people that I need to remember, and I apologize for that, but everyone just does such an incredible job, and so thank you very much for making this convention what it is. Let's hear applause for all of them. We now want to go to our item of discussing the how you liked or did not like or whatever on the format, on the program of the convention program format. I want to raise a couple specific questions, and then if Gene has other questions to raise at the beginning, just to throw out for you to address in your comments, there will be more. One question, I've already heard universal applause for this. I think, but did you like the table of contents right near the beginning where it was? Yeah. Don't applause for the others, because these are more difficult questions. Did you like the hotel description at the back, or should it be at the front? There are some people that feel both ways on that. Not now. You'll have a chance to address these. I'm just trying to throw them out. Did you prefer last time when we did the program part itself, where we had the long narration of what was in the program? We did it by virtue we didn't do it chronologically. We did it by general sessions and committees and things like that. This time we reverted back to our older format of doing it in a chronological manner, so that you have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's another question that we want addressed by people, to see whether there is a preference one way or the other. And of course, any other comments that you have on the program convention format, not on the content of the program. We're not trying to address that today, although you certainly can. But we especially want to design the best program possible for you. Gene, are there any other questions you think specifically you might want people to address?
Yes. Any comments on, again, the narrative description? There's been a variety of styles. We've had it done by O&M specialists. We've also had it by members, like this convention's one was put together by Roger Peterson. That would help us give some directions.
You're talking about the hotel description.
The hotel narrative description, the layout of the hotel. How detailed the amenities in the hotel do you want in the description? Do you want the phone numbers of the hotel in the front or back? Do you want all the hotel things to cluster together? The the layout in terms of spacing of items, the font styles. I'm just throwing these things out. I'm not trying to. Well, we're trying to give you some things that we have had issues brought up, and we want to get your input. So first, if you hear what we have, the concerns that have been brought to us, well, hopefully we can spring from those things. Also, just the length of the document and how detailed do you want. Some people have been saying that when it's presentations, that they actually want like a little abstract as to what the presenter is going to talk about. So those are some of the things. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to leave it. We're going to turn it over to you folks. I'm not going to make comments. Really, this is the time to get input from you guys, and then, you know, we'll meet some of the ones who are involved in this process, Bernice and many others, Gene, myself, and others. We'll meet after the convention to sort of, you know, take a look at this input. And a reminder, as Gene, I'm sure, will want me to remind you, you can, when the convention is over, either late next week or the following week, call the office with comments and those comments can, or email them, and those comments will also be considered. Okay, we'll throw it open.
This is Susan Hyatt, and the only comment that I can think of is on the committees, you know, of the sessions such as the seniors or the joint sessions, is you have the beginning time, but you don't have the end, so you don't know when the cutoff time is. So if you wanted to go to someplace else, or you know, whether it leaves early, it adjourns earlier, you don't know that.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dawn Wilcox. I'm a low vision person. I like the font. I like the contrast. I love the calendar events. I missed last year's convention, so I don't know what you did. But my comment was, I was trying to find out when the Braille Revival League. On one of these documents I got offline, and this one I got here, it said when the speaker's time was under their section. On the other one, it didn't. There was inconsistency between the long descriptions of the different groups.
Now, let me ask a question just so I make sure I get your comment.
Uh-huh.
The document you said that it wasn't there, could that have been in the announcement? Or do you think about two versions of the program?
No, two versions. Between the calendar events and where you have the long description, I couldn't find it to be consistent.
When the business meeting.
Yeah, it didn't say when business ended and when I could run over to the next one, like Susan was saying.
All right, thank you.
Mr. President, Judy Wilkinson, Bayview Chapter. several things. First of all, I want to say I think the program was lovely in most ways this time. I like the spiral binding. I like the size. I don't care whether the hotel stuff is in the front or the back. I think it'd be good to have it all together. I like the narrative description the way it was. Sometimes it's a little repetitive because Roger would say something like, you go back to the corridor and remember if you turn left, you'll be heading toward the desk, and I'm thinking, right. So that's good to kind of be reminded. Otherwise, you think, wait a minute, is this the one that goes to the lobby or not? So I thought it might take a little more space, but I think to have a little bit reminder of kind of just the thumbnail of what we might have already been told that might be useful, I think was very good. And I think generally our hotel descriptions have been very good. I do have a comment about the Braille format. I liked the calendar in the front. I mean, I like the quick calendar. But the Braille formatting has some issues. For one thing, I'll give you an example. For the Friday afternoon session, on a standard left edge margin line, it said noon, luncheon, blah, blah, blah. Next line immediately following, indented spaces 2, like it's a new Braille paragraph, it said 1:30, second general session. Now, that's not easy for somebody to find. All new items need to have a blank line between them. And don't let anybody tell you that Braille formatting programs can't be set up to do that. We must have a blank line, so you can skip down your fingers, find a blank line, and know that a new time, a new item is coming up. Also, whoever's setting up the spacing, we can read it, but the top edge is much too close to the top margin, where it says Saturday continued and so forth, and often there's too much space at the bottom. Now, I don't think it matters. Some people might differ. I don't think a new item has to go on a new side of a page, but don't put it too near the top, and don't, you know, leave needless space at bottoms of pages, because it is expensive to do the Braille. We do need to save, but we need to make it clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, Lorraine Brown, Silicon Valley. Tuesday night, I am not a Braille user. I am not a large print user. I did not bring a computer, but I did go to download the program from, so I could put it on my note taker and my stream. However, I could not find it. Roger later told me, well, it was in the connection that you had to go on, I guess, on the main page. Well, I figure, you know, the announcement was under conventions. I went to the link called conventions and arrowed down all over the place trying to find. I never found it. I'm sorry. I did a links list and I didn't. Okay, then it was. Oh.
Yes, it was changed. That your comment or a comment like it, Lorraine, was received, and we had its location changed. So I think your comment does definitely have some validity.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I wasn't. It was there.
Yes.
I did not. I apologize. And
yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll remember that next year and try to make it more easily to find.
Thank you.
This is David Jackson. Being a large print user, I would like to have a thumbnail sketch of the presenters. I'd like that. And if you could possibly make the font a little darker, but the layout of the, in general, the layout of the program was very nice. And I was able to go down the calendar, and I was able to find everything and didn't have a problem.
Okay, let me ask you a clarifying question, just so, because we want all these comments to be clear. You say you want a thumbnail sketch of the presenters. Does that mean a little information about each one in the program?
Yes, please.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Thank you. Well, we're not going to comment negatively or positively on these things right now. We just want to get the comments.
Mr. President, this is Gene.
Yeah.
I need clarification on
what
David said.
Wait a minute. Let's get a mic to Eugene, and then you can ask. They can.
David, I am assuming you were talking about the general session. Is that correct? Okay. And you want a description or like a little vita on the presenter? Or do you want like an abstract, what they might be talking about, or both? I'm not making a judgment call. I'm just asking.
And I understand. Maybe more so on what they're talking about.
I'm sorry. I'm off mic. Maybe more so a little abstract of what they're going to talk about. I'm kind of thinking about the amount of time that the person who's introducing them has to go through to save a little bit of time for more of content in the general session.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We only have one mic right now that's working, so it's going to take us a little while to get to you, but we'll get to you.
Mr. President, this is Pam Pology from the San Gabriel Valley chapter, and I'm a little leery about, maybe this doesn't exactly fit into your criteria, what you're talking about right this second, but I noticed that in the program for the devotionals, there was a discrepancy on the time, you know, so, and I know that we are moving the general session up a half an hour so that the devotion should start at 7:45, and it did say that, but then in another section, it said 8:15 a.m., so I guess that could have changed in the interim of when it was being brailled, but if my comment would be that if there's a change and people are aware that there's a discrepancy in the program, could we make an announcement like during the banquet or something? Because the devotionals was really sparsely attended, and I think it was because there was confusion. And
Pam,
I appreciate your time.
Pam, your comment is totally valid. I totally apologize. If I had been aware of the 8:15, which I didn't really look, and if I had been aware that that was there, I definitely would have made that announcement. I take responsibility for that. I actually have a comment as well, and that is one of the problems that we have, and I think Jean will back me up completely, and Donna's heard about it, and I think she'll back me up completely too. One of the problems that we have of getting the program put together at the last minute and ironing out some of these difficulties is that we're waiting until the very last minute. And we're waiting because people who are supposed to get us information don't. So if you get us things farther in advance, and sometimes it's an issue that I have because I don't get certain things done, but we all need to work together to get things in as early as possible, because the less crises management that Ed and Lily and I and Gene have to do at the end about putting little refinements on the program, the less likely we're going to have little issues like this of things getting fouled up and little inconsistencies and things like that. So it's really incumbent upon all of us to be responsible to help out the convention coordinating team so that we get the information in as far ahead as we can in advance. It really makes the process go more easily. Okay, wait. We're going around. Just when Ed gets to you, he gets to you, and you just have to wait. But we will get to you.
Okay, this is Artis Bazin. I have a few comments. I agree with Judy on the spacing. I was looking for where the nominating committee meeting was, and it ran right into where the Friday night session was, so it was a little trickier to find. And so I totally agree about making sure you leave blank spaces in appropriate parts. Also, one of the things that I noticed is that there are some things in the program that are extraneous things that really shouldn't be in the program for once you get here because it's too late. And I think they should be put in a separate, like a separate little document, put in with like the pre-convention thing or on the website, because they had some things about when you get to the airport to find the phone in the aisleway. Well, that's when you get here at the hotel, that's a little late to know that. But I understand for the online folks, it would be great to have. So maybe it should be just a little separate thing, saving, before the convention, remember this. And there was also a thing for first timers to call the office if they wanted a buddy. Well, when they get here, they can't call the office. So little things like that, I think, need to be in a before the convention thing on the website and in the pre-reg and taken out of the program. And then I did like the format. I love the calendar. Table of contents at the beginning. That was wonderful. And the order of the items in the program I thought was great. I didn't have any trouble finding things. And I do like the way it's laid out from beginning to end about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all together, versus having to go to general sessions in one place and go to extra meetings in another place, because then you're just constantly pulling out your program, having to look in a different place every time. So I really like that all together.
Thank you.
One other thing, there were quite a few editing things, so I don't know if you could watch that a little better too. Thanks.
Okay. And Judy, just as an aside, Judy, if you could call me sometime in the next week or so on your comments, because I'd definitely like to talk to you about that.
This is Dirk Neihardt. I want to thank the gods of CCB for giving halos to the registration people, Ed, Pinky, and Mary Lou. I got a tape in the mail, and I listened to it, but I forgot to bring it, so I asked for a new tape, and neither my regular tape recorder nor my four-track tape recorder could make hide nor hair of what that tape said. Anyway, whoever is doing the tapes, please do it properly next time. Thank you. If we do have tapes next time, I think tapes are going the way of the horse and buggy.
Mr. President, this is Jane again. Just one comment, and then also I just want to state something, and I think something we need some feedback from the group on. First, I have to agree with what Art has said, that we need to be looking at some of the materials and to see whether they shouldn't be in there, like, for example, like the airport, about the telephone. The thing is, though, the comment was that was text that, because of some of the rush things, would have been ideally put into the pre-registration packet. But we put it into the program because the program is posted before the convention, so that would be an opportunity for people to be aware of that. But I think you're absolutely right. We need to try to edit out some of the unnecessary things because you're here, and that's why, like Jeff said, that when the president puts out a request by a deadline for information, that we all, including myself, get it in by that time. Well, each time there's a announcement the president sends out. Well, it goes out to all the special interest groups and the chapters and everyone who's organizing it. Okay, I'm sorry maybe you didn't get it, but it's gone out. And sometimes it's on the connection.
Well, it does go out to the committees, and in fact, yeah, it's only the committees that are the real, it's the committees and the special interest groups, you know. Other people don't have things they need to submit to us anyway. We can put that out there just in case you do, but it's really the special interest and
committees
that are the ones that have to get
They're
the information
to us. They're the ones that have to do that.
But we can, there's no reason we can't put it out on the connection that, you know, if you have information that you feel needs to be in the program, get it in by that same day. We can certainly do that.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Gene, and then we'll get on to the next person.
Yeah, and I don't want to take other people's time, but the thing is that we do need, you know, it's the placement of the description, because, and I just want to say what the thought has been in the past and see if there's a flaw to it, is that we've kept together the narrative description followed by the emergency evacuation plan information so that you have the description, know how the hotel is laid out, followed by then the emergency evacuation plan so that in case of an emergency, you know where to get out. Now, the thing is, it's also been the thought, putting the description and the plan up in the front, not before the table of contents, but one of the first things, so that when you have that information...
Gene, don't comment favorably or unfavorably on that. Just because we're not,
Jeff,
not our goal.
Please.
Okay.
No, wait, please let me talk before all you right. Rule me out of order.
You're not. I'm not ruling you out of order.
I'm just Jeff, please. We're wasting time, Jeff. Just let me say, I want to get reactions from this, please. The thing is that we've had the thing where it's been in front, and so that afterwards when you're reading the program and you're hearing where meetings are, you know where they are in relationships so you can plan it. So now if you want in the back, we just want to know that's all the positions, because there's been people who have said they want in the front. There's other people who want in the back. They say it takes a lot of time to go through that to find the other contents. That's something, please comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Mr. President, this is Lena Bandy.
That's true.
I'm going to play Maverick, I guess, on this one, because I think in a lot of cases the blank lines in the Braille format would cause more paper to be used, and... can I finish without comment? Thank you.
What did you say?
I think that if we just have every new item, such as a general session or luncheon or committee meeting, on cell one with its corresponding agenda in cell three, that it would be just as easy to skim over the general items, such as general session or luncheon, and then find under what you're looking for the agenda, just like it would be a heading on a computer. And as far as Jean's question, I think that the hotel description should be in the front for that very reason, because I would like to figure out, you know, my own skills are interesting, but I would like to figure out, you know, how to find things and, you know, what is on one side of the hotel versus somewhere completely different while I'm planning my crazy busy schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Lena.
Lindsay Hastings, San Diego. I personally, in regards to where the hotel description and things are, liked those in the back. As a partial, I didn't really access that or use it during this weekend. I kind of just explore and figure out where things are on my own. And the main thing that I use out of the program is the schedule. And for me, having to flip through that many pages to even find the schedule would, you know, take up so much time when, you know, if I did need to find where something is, I could just flip to the back. Thank you.
And do you like the amenities in the front or the back? The phone numbers, the description of the...
I liked having that in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello. Venus Dickens from the Capital Chapter. I think the hotel description should be in the front. I do agree with that. Another thing that we've had in the past, in past conventions, is the hospitality. It didn't say what floor it was on, and it just says that the club lounge. Well, to me, the club lounge is where the lobby is. I mean, can you see having a hospitality in the hotel lobby?
So when it's unclear, we might like do Pren's 10th floor or something like that.
Yes.
Okay. Very
yes.
Good comment. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you.
This is Lucia Heinzel with Redwood Empire. I have a few things. I would like to know have an explanation of the alphabet soup I ran into. I'm not familiar with all these things. I still haven't figured out what RSVC stands for. And if you're our newcomer, first-timers are just bewildered. Also, if you could put the speaker contact information in the book so that you don't have to... I guess I'm losing my hearing. I can't keep up with these... what do we call them, network or websites. In other words, they say it over the... They repeat it, and then I get all turned around. And if we... Just the contact information for whatever agency they're speaking from. The other thing, it's probably stupid, but if you could place the speakers up on a podium so I can see them. It's just... I mean, I'm legally blind, but it's disconcerting to hear a voice and not know where it's coming from or what the person, where they're at.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I am Mike Keithley. First of all, I'd like to say that the table of contents is great. I really enjoyed it. And it really helped a great deal. I'm wondering if there could be in the back, in addition to the description, of some kind of general tactile map.
It's a possibility. I mean, we have people in this organization and who are, if not members, very, very close to our organization that might be able to... I mean, I don't know, but it's certainly a comment worth looking into. What do you think, Gene?
Get some
I'm not saying we could necessarily do it, but is it worth looking into?
You know,
hang on, Kathy.
I think looking into it, and it might be definitely. I think a supplement if we do it, because not everyone has experience or not or can use tactile maps. But I think we should look at it. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but my thought immediately thought that it should be a supplement to the program because it's going to take quite a few pages in some places of hotels. But let's look at it, especially for the DoubleTree.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, my Hello. Comment, this is Deborah with the Capital Chapter, and my comment is I think as long as all the placement where things are at is indicated in the contents, it should help people find what they're looking for very quickly with page numbers and where and what for. And also, I think that if we want, like, descriptions of who's speaking and a little bit about them or details, maybe that could be a special supplement handed out at the beginning of each session.
Thank you.
Dan Kaiser. I really would like to see, there's two main things that you look at in the program, the schedule of events and the description. And I would like to see the schedule of events in the front, the description in the back. Thank you.
So you like the format as it is generally?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
This is Christy Crespin. I have a couple of comments to make. Number one, I would like to see the hotel description in the back and the amenities in the front. One of the problems that I have is I sometimes can't make heads or tails of the description until I start walking, until I start figuring it out, because some of us with ROP just don't get it. And I'm one. I would like to see a listing of the rooms and where, like, are they located, what's located near each other. In other words, I noticed that, like, the Bayside was way far away from, I can't remember what other rooms there are because I can't remember, but what rooms are located in what areas? Like, which rooms are located near one another at one end of the hotel next to the restaurant or, you know, that kind of a description instead of when you walk, la, la, la. I mean, that's good. Keep that, but add a quick reference to where the rooms are. Okay, nobody knows where these rooms are.
Okay, this is Stephen from the San Joaquin chapter. My comment, first of all, that was a good comment at the end about descriptive placement of our meeting rooms. But I would also like to thank whoever put together this program for detailing the shuttle information. But if I could please ask that if there's going to be a deadline for the time you have to get your request put in for the shuttle or you get shut out, that be included in the literature.
Yeah, let me sort of give Gene a little, mea culpa, the opposite of that. Gene worked tirelessly to try and get, not only to get the information out, but to get enough, and Lily as well, worked to try and get enough volunteers and work with the hotel. This was Gene was, I thought he was going to lose a lot of sleep over this, because he had to really work to make sure, because of the problems of the inaccessibility between where the shuttle had to pick up and drop off and where people were going to be dropped off by BART or Caltrain, it created lots of logistical problems. It created other problems, and so, you know, you're absolutely right. In a perfect world, we would have had all that information out far sooner, and we would have done that. But things just sometimes aren't perfect. But your comment is well taken.
Mr. President, thank you so much. I don't want to sound unappreciative. The shuttle is a blessing, and it was ADA compliant for a member of our chapter who is in a wheelchair. That came in so handy. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to put myself in the description in the back category. I want to also, Dan and Christy, I really agree with their comments. And the description, I do better when it's given from a certain perspective, like from a central, like maybe from the lobby. Where are things from the lobby? I don't want to, you know, the walking around part's a little bit harder for me to get, but definitely the description in the back. And I do like this, the current program was good.
Mr. President and Chairman and whoever, this is very interesting and probably very necessary. I think we need to keep in mind as you put this together, the people who will be doing it, that we cannot have a book when we come to convention to use. We need to know when I come, I want to know who's speaking, what they're talking about. And as far as saving time by putting their little of their bio in the program, you don't need a long bio. I know some people like to do that, but I couldn't care less whether the man was born in Borneo or Tennessee. I want to know what he's here to tell me, and I want to hear about it. And I think, Mr. President and everybody, that I've been yelling about something a long time. I'm going to yell again. A thing like this is necessary and very good. It's called business of the organization. But believe me, I think instead of taking the business meeting this morning for all this time, suggestions could have been sent in, and or better, there could have been some time scheduled on Saturday. Speakers are good, but I think we need more business time, and I think a portion of the Saturday session should be for business. And with that, I don't know what your schedule is, but I'm looking at mine, and I'm going to move that this discussion come to an end now.
Kathy, before you make that motion, can I ask one quick thing?
Sure.
Just a hand raising. We've heard, because I really want to be fair on this, especially because of the side I happen to have been on, we've heard from a lot of people that have wanted the description in the back. Can we have a hand raising of hands of those who would have preferred the hotel description in the front, where it was last year? And can somebody tell us how many hands we have? Yeah, keep your hands up, guys, because we want to get a feeling.
12. She said 12.
Okay. There's 12. And I guess just to, let's do it the other way. How many prefer it in the back?
Everybody except 12.
I thought about that, Kathy, but what?
And you know, with all due respect to everybody here, Jeff, you've got 100 and some people, usually around 150 to 10. I hope you're not going to try.
No,
we'll never find
Kathy,
a thing that everybody wants.
We're not doing that as something that's necessarily going to mean what we do. I just wanted, since we had all comments going one direction, I just wanted to give at least a little idea of what the split was. In this case, it was 35 one way and 12 the other. And that may mean something. Okay, now, Kathy, you've made a motion.
I make a motion that we come to the end of this topic and move on to other business.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Only one no. So I think we will move on. I want to... Yes?
This is Donna.
Yes.
I just wanted to really quick give a plea to everybody here in the audience, because I know that the office has been soliciting people to contact them and ask questions. So we need you guys to let us know what it is that you want by calling the office, by, you know, instead of when you pass us in the hallway and say, oh, this doesn't work and it's terrible, because we want to make the best programs or whatever for each and every one of you. But when the office or something comes out on the list or on the connections and we say, please call us and let us know what you want, please do it so that we can make things better for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so I've been reminded the office won't be open until Thursday, so please, you can email, but don't phone, because we don't have the type of phone mail capability, voicemail capability. You'll just fill it up, and when we have some emergency that has to be dealt with, they won't be able to get through, so please wait. Okay, thank you. And thank you, Donna, very much for that reminder. And thank you, everybody who's worked so hard on this convention, because it's really been a labor of love. But sometimes there's no love. Okay, I'm turning it over to the resolutions chair. Gabe Griffith. Let's hear it for Gabe and his committee.
Thank you. And Lena, if you're not up here, can you make your way up here? I've got some good news for you guys, and some really good news. The good news is, well, depending on how you look at it, we only have 7 resolutions this year. And that includes the 2 appreciation resolutions. It was one of the lightest years I ever remember. And now the really good news, and hopefully you're as excited about this as I am, I've appointed a co-chair, Lena Bandy, who you all know and have heard from many times. And she is a much better Braille reader than I am, so she's going to read us a couple of the longer resolutions when we get down there and probably do a better job than I would, and you don't have to listen to me anymore at that reading there. That being said, let's see, before we get started, let me try and thank everybody. Thanks to Lena for coming on as co-chair and taking over. She got her first taste yesterday of doing some of the editing and running the meeting, and did a great job. So I think if I can convince her to completely take over from me, or convince somebody else to step in as a co-chair with her, whichever is the preference, you guys will really be in great hands with a new chair. Other members of the committee, Linda Perel, before I get in trouble for forgetting her, like I think I've almost done in the past, Charles Navarrete, Gene Lozano, Frank Welty came in there,
Dirk
Neihardt. What did we decide, Gene? The permanent ex officio member, Donna Pomerantz. did I say Frank?
I think you got
am I missing anyone?
Yeah,
Charles? Yes, said Charles.
Said Charles.
If I'm forgetting anybody, please yell at me. So, and I guess with that being said, I'm going to read you the first couple of resolutions, and then Lena's going to take over, and we'll read a couple of the others. So, resolution 2010A1 is mandating availability of talking pill bottles and prescription material in Braille and large print. And this was submitted to us by Lupe Medrano of the Silicon Valley chapter. Whereas prescription information is rarely available in Braille or large print for the use of blind or visually impaired people, and whereas talking pill bottles have been manufactured for many years, and whereas these bottles have proven very beneficial to blind and visually impaired people, and whereas talking pill bottles have been available to Kaiser patients through the system's pharmacies for several years, and whereas Kaiser patients using these bottles report very satisfactory results, and whereas the legislative efforts to mandate the availability of prescription materials in Braille and large print, and talking pill bottles in particular, in all pharmacies has apparently stalled. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the, and I'm going to read this boilerplate once and then probably not read again. Be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and convention assembled this 18th day of April 2010 at the Crown Plaza SFO Hotel in the city of Burlingame, California, that this organization reinstate a legislative effort to make talking pill bottles as well as prescription information in Braille and large print available in all pharmacies in California. And the committee recommendation is to refer this resolution back to the author for further research because it was unclear kind of what some of the legislative efforts would be and as well as some of the ongoing efforts that are being done. So for those reasons, we recommend to refer back to the author for further research and to bring back at a future convention, and I so move.
Do we have the author here to talk on behalf of her resolution?
Is that you?
Yeah. Okay, we don't.
Oh, no, I'm not the author, but I do want to comment in the court of the
All right, and then we're going to hear from anyone on the committee who wants to speak. Yeah, I'm going to talk as well.
Okay.
But briefly.
Mr. President, Lisa Gordon, I really vote for a passage of this resolution because, for several reasons, I'm not going to be able to be a Kaiser member, and I went to a small clinic back in Sacramento because that's what you did if you had Medi-Cal and went at a female doctor, and had Walgreens as my pharmacy, and if you're on a few medications, they just want to throw a bunch of print at you and pill bottles, and you really need, it would have been really helpful to have that prescription information in Braille and to be able to have talking pill bottles so I'd know what all my medications are right at the first without having to make a system and memorize them.
Dan Kaiser.
Actually, I've been asked by Gabe to go ahead and say some things first, and then I'll recognize Eugene clearly. A couple comments. It is true that the legislative efforts have temporarily stalled, but I think you have to recognize that this is an issue very near and dear to my heart. I helped write the bill that Dan tried to force through, but they've stalled because this really isn't the time where we're going to get them. This has fiscal implications. The pharmacies, it's going to cost them a lot, and we're not going to get that through. The state, the Medi-Cal program, is going to cost them something. We're not going to get that through right now. I don't think this is a good time to do this. Secondly, and I know this may have been partly what Gene is going to discuss, there are some ongoing negotiations that I really can't be too specific about at this point in time that may have some impact in this area. I just don't think for all those reasons it's the appropriate time to try and seek a legislative solution that I really don't think is going to go anywhere. But go ahead, Gene.
Well, everything you said I wanted to say, and the other thing was everyone was in total support of the concept. That wasn't the issue. There was a problem. It talked about talking prescriptions, then Braille and large print, and we weren't clear exactly what specifically they were wanting. Sometimes it sounded like they wanted one over the other one. So we just wanted clarification. We think this is very important and want it brought back, hopefully, the next convention with more information, specific things there, and direction, what we actually are supposed to do as an organization if approved. So it's not opposing. It's wanting more information. We need some the author.
Thank you for that clarification, Gene. Very, very well said.
Dan Kaiser.
Dan?
Yeah. It was AB 1399, as I recall. In addition, no one is going to question the policy. We all are in agreement with the policy. We need it, and everybody should have them. There's two things about the large print. There was a bill that included large print a couple years ago. We need to follow up on that legislation. I believe it passed. And I think we need to, there was supposed to be, as I recall, a task force to look into the large, how that was going to be done. And, you know, I think I left about the time that CCB should have made sure that they had a, I think there was a gap in the legislative leadership here in this organization for a month or two. And that would have been the time to get a CCB member on that panel to make sure that the low vision people were properly represented. But in saying that, as far as the audible, as far as the bottle itself, during 1399, the owner of the company said he was going it broke. And I don't know if Kaiser had simply purchased a mass amount of those bottles, because I understand that there are issues with that company, and that the only real manufacturer is that barcode scanner. And don't ever expect the legislature to pass a barcode scanner bill that somebody could retrieve your information in the lobby as to what kind of drugs you have. There's a lot of issues in the legislature with RF radio frequency type scanners. So I really think that there's a lot of issues. I think I would support the committee on just holding back and taking a look. It's not that we don't agree with that. We all do. We're preaching to the choir, but we need to get more information.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone else?
Yes.
I heard two people, and I heard a third people.
A lady on the center aisle, a gentleman on the far left, and then Rob.
Yeah, the lady was first, and Rob was last. The person in the middle, I don't know who it was.
Somebody over on the...
I would like to speak to getting more research on this. I'm a Kaiser member, and I got my medication. I mean, Kaiser doesn't know what it's doing. And I think that we need to somehow work on getting it straight with Kaiser. Like I said, I have a pill bottle sitting at home, empty. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to, you know, I said, do I need to give this back to you to refill? Oh, no, keep it. Okay, so I kept it, and it's sitting empty. And meanwhile, my prescription number changes, so I can't just keep using that bottle. Like I said, we need to work on a delegation or something to help them figure out their policy and then help Kaiser pharmacists and doctors to understand the policy so that it can be uniformly appropriated throughout the system. Otherwise, I wouldn't even use Kaiser in that resolution.
Okay, thank you, Christy. And Christy, you might talk to Jean, because we have some Kaiser connections that we may need to keep plugging away at. Right, Jean?
Okay. It's my turn. Keith Johnson. I'm a member of Kaiser. The problem with the prescriptions you get with Kaiser, the literature especially, is actually produced by the pharmaceutical company itself. And Kaiser has nothing to do with that. And so whatever Kaiser gets, they get. And so they have no way of brailing that material or putting it in large print that I know of. I do know that they can't give you a talking pill bottle, because I've gotten that from them.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
But as far as the literature that comes, that's the pharmaceutical company, so you got to go to them to force them to braille it or put it into large print, because pharmacies, you know, like Walgreens, Kaiser, or Rite Aid, they have nothing to do with that literature. Just to fill me the prescription. That's all I got to say.
So my impression is this resolution. The idea was to encourage, you know, this organization to seek legislation and so forth. I get the feeling that rather than trying to submit another resolution, I wonder if this organization, if we should have some kind of a committee, an ongoing committee to, you know, work together not just the individual that submitted the resolution, but maybe just a group of people in the organization that's working on this to provide direction. I don't get the feeling that submitting this resolution again with additional research would serve a purpose. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Rob. I think that's a good suggestion, and I can always look into appointing an ad hoc committee this
Mr.
year.
Mr. Chairman?
And Kathy wants the mic.
And someone else does back.
I have to say that a committee to research and do what? The request was to get legislation to do this. And if you don't have legislation, I'm not sure what a committee could do. You can research and you'll find out that some people have and some don't. But I can tell you that as a longtime legislative advocate, at our current situation in California, if you go to Sacramento and ask for anything that costs money, you're not going to get it. And if we didn't have better proof of that, we sure saw it with the way they treated Medi-Cal and IHSS. So while I think this is a wonderful idea, I think that we need to try to talk to the people that have the pill bottles and try to get some publicity to try to get some pill bottles. But I think that really right now we should work on this resolution, either put it up or down. Myself, I think that we need to vote on the resolution.
Yeah, we could have a committee to discuss a whole array of strategies. There's so many. I'm not even bothered to go into all the issues that this brings up. It's not. We don't have the time. But it may be worth an ad hoc group to look at it. Yes.
Since the pharmaceutical companies are known to have the money, have a lot more money than anybody else these days, and then they have money to advertise on TV and radio and all that, and they have all the stuff they can, and they give out free samples here and there when they want to and all that, they can have play a part in providing talking pill bottles, maybe. They could participate in this and make them available to the pharmacies.
Okay, let me just say it's a much more complicated issue than that.
No,
I hear you what you're saying, but
a national issue that maybe ACB could take up and have a resolution about that. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Gene,
you on the floor?
Yeah. Okay. First thing is that, just like the lady just said, the American Council of the Blind is working on this. This is a national issue, and a lot of this is going to take regulations and legislation and a lot, you know, very much appreciate, and I think we need to get your input on things there. I don't think right now a committee is quite the answer, is that there are people working on this on the national level, and that's where the influence is. Now, for Kaiser issues particularly, I'm at this time the liaison with disability rights advocates, who are the ones that sued Kaiser, and we've just reestablished our communications with their ADA coordinator on things. So let me give you my email address so you, those of you who are with Kaiser and have issues, you can send them to me, and please let me be able then to forward this on to DRA, not my your issues. My email address is Lozano E. That's Lozanoe at CSUS, that stands for California State University, Sacramento.edu. Give me your contact information. Give me what the issue is, what if it Kaiser facility it is, if there's an issue you had with a particular pharmacist or so forth. Give me the names, basically information that DRA and the ADA coordinator could track these down and talk to the individuals and work out what the situation is. And two is, it would not hurt if you have a positive thing too about this thing and you found something worked and you really like it and would like to replicate it.
That's also very helpful, too. So I thank you for your patience on this.
Okay, we have a motion.
And also, Ed.
Oh, sorry.
Ed,
go ahead, Gene.
And Ed also said, please, if you don't have, and it's very important, those of you who may have no email or computers, please call the office and ask for Ed or Lily, and they'll take down your information, and there'll be follow-up. Yes, because I know not everyone uses computers. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Okay, we have a motion on the floor to refer it back to the author. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. All right, the motion carries. It will be referred back to the author, and we will work on, you know, strategies of dealing with this over the upcoming few months. You're up.
Okay. And so we are moving on to resolution 2010-A2, DOR to be censured for irresponsible behavior. Okay, I'm sorry, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Resolution 2010-A2 is Department of Rehab to be censured for irresponsible behavior with its nonprofit agencies. And this one was submitted to us by Lorraine Brown, a member of Silicon Valley chapter. Whereas Sensory Access Foundation, SAF, a nonprofit agency dedicated to the training and maintenance of jobs for blind and visually impaired people in California, was forced into liquidation and to close its doors on March 31st, 2010, after 37 years of service. And whereas SAF derived the bulk of its funds and clients from the California Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, and whereas during the last 15 years, SAF was paid by DOR under case service contracts, CSC, which were awarded for periods of 1 to 3 years. And whereas all CSCs SAF had with DOR were canceled in June 2008, even though they had 2 years to run. And whereas in the middle of June 2008, with only 2 weeks' notice, SAF and other California nonprofit agencies working for DOR received notification from the department that beginning with the new fiscal year, July 1, 2008, all CSC contracts were null and void, and that these agencies would be paid on a fee-for-service basis. And whereas DOR gets 80% of its funding from the federal government and 20% from the state. And whereas in the spring of 2008, the California governor ordered all state departments to cut 10% out of their budgets, and DOR refused to comply. And instead, the leaders of DOR met privately to develop a plan destined to drive Sensory Access Foundation and other agencies such as the San Francisco Vocational Services out of business and create hardships for other nonprofits serving DOR clients throughout the state, such as the San Diego Center for the Blind. And whereas the unemployment rate in California in general is 10%, but 70% in the blind and visually impaired community. And whereas many people in this community are consumers of DOR services and want to be gainfully employed, and whereas there are very few agencies in California organized specifically to help blind and visually impaired people enter and maintain a position in the workplace, now therefore be it resolved that the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, be censured for the irresponsible handling of its nonprofit agencies, and that the president of the of this organization send a formal protest of our dissatisfaction of DOR's behavior to the governor and the head of DOR. And that the resolution and DOR's response be published in the Blind Californian. And the committee recommends a do not pass.
Okay, now, this time I'm not asleep at the wheel. In order to avoid a negative motion, I want to see if there is a motion to for passage, for adoption of the resolution. Okay. What we don't want to be voting against something because that gets confusing. So we know that the committee has recommended this not be passed. We don't want to have to vote that way though. We want to vote yes or no on the resolution. So is there a motion for adoption of the resolution? The committee is not making it.
I move it.
Okay, there is a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Now we can have discussion.
Kaiser.
No, hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Are you telling Dan no?
I'm saying hold on. We will get everybody to discussion. I'm going to try to do one for and one against, and I will recognize a for person, and then I will recognize someone from the committee, whether it be Gabe or whatever, to support their recommendation of a do not pass. So if you can, if you, we want one person for the motion at this point.
Do I have a person with their hand up here?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lorraine Brown from Silicon Valley, and I proposed this to our group at the March meeting, and the Silicon Valley chapter did vote for passing it. I was a trainer at Sensory Access, and like I said, with 2 weeks' notice, we were notified that we would be going on fee-for-service instead of having 2 years left on our contract. Now, we were prepared to take a 10% cut like the governor was asking for. What we ended up with over the last 2 years was a 63% cut. It put other agencies besides us out of business. The other thing I want to say, when we got the, quote, fee-for-service guidelines, they were so outrageous that it took months for those fees to be adjusted. When they first we first got the guidelines, the fees guidelines had to do with what they would be paying in sheltered workshops, not out in the community. In addition, we were supposed to get stimulus money. We were supposed to get $400,000 in stimulus money. Originally, that was supposed to come in October. It didn't come because there were some, evidently, some people who complained and on the way it was being handled, not for us, but for the whole list of agencies. Then we were told, okay, the money will come in November. It didn't come. December, didn't come. Then Diana Drews was informed, okay, if you want the money, then what you need to do is spend the money first, and then we'll reimburse you. Well, if you know how the state government reimburses, it's not tomorrow. It's down the line. Also, it's just been, you know, one thing after another. And we were not the only ones. San Francisco Vocational Services went out last year because they had three case CSC contracts going. I don't know about you guys, but if I sign a contract, I'm held to it. So why on earth was not the state DOR held to go with contracts? Why were they allowed to just call them null and void, and all of a sudden, and that was with 2 weeks' notice? And I think that was criminal. I really do.
Okay. Now let's hear from one of the committee members, if they so choose, with respect to their recommendation for a do not pass.
Actually, let Kathy go ahead and speak.
Well, I don't know what the committee did, but I can tell you that the Blind Advisory Committee has been on this topic since the day it came up, which is a long time ago now. As to why they were allowed to get away with it, I don't think anybody can answer that. But to say that it's irresponsible, we can't say that, because it's not an irresponsibility. It's a whole lot of legal things that happen. What happened is they went from the contracts they had, they gave people a set amount of money, and then they stopped that, and that was called a contract. And they went to fee for service, and they were only going to pay people for who they helped. Well, some agencies could handle that and do the work and get paid later, and others could not. Then they made a couple of things. I think they were going to give a pretty large amount to an agency, which was Sensory Access. I served on their board for 6 years, so I found that painful too. Sensory Access did have fundraisers and still did have, but we're talking about the money from rehab. They went to fee for service that wasn't good for any of the agencies, that hurt all of them. I think you heard the list yesterday, if you were in the room, of people who, agencies who did receive money for the stimulus money. And I think that it's unfortunate that happened. And I don't know, BAC has been really into it as much as we can. We've said things, and I think we've sent resolutions about that before from this organization. Yes. They're well aware that we disapprove of it, hardly. So do the agencies. But I think that this organization, it's not in a position, if we say that they should be censured, not for irresponsible, I'm one that censures them quite a lot, but I don't think that we can say that we can say what this resolution says, because it's accurate. It reflects certainly what happened to an agency, and it reflects the difficulty they're having and the sadness of how they're doing it. But I think for this organization to go on record censuring an agency and a group that we asked to be created, a division for the blind, and we go in and we criticize them like this without all of the details, and we don't have them. Everything in this resolution is not accurate. And so I would be not willing to vote for this.
Okay. Another person with a pro for resolution viewpoint, if there is one.
Yes. I don't know all the details, but I was a rehab, Lisa Gordon, I'm sorry, I will get used to doing this eventually. I don't have all the details about what happened, but I know I placed, when I was a rehab counselor in San Francisco, I placed many clients with SFVS, both blind and in the disability community at large, and they were a great agency, and their job developers found jobs, and they really worked well with the consumers, and the consumers were happy with them. And believe me, that's not something that happens all the time. A lot of the times consumers are not happy with the agencies. So, I mean, I don't know all the details, but I know that it's very unfortunate that SFES and the Sensory Access Foundation went out of business, because I know they did good services for a lot of consumers.
Mr. Chris.
Okay, wait a minute. Did I hear Dave or not?
No, go ahead and let Gene. Gene's probably going to speak from the committee.
Okay, Gene.
And maybe Gabe would. I guess, Kathy touched upon a lot of the concerns that we had as a committee members. And there was things there that we felt the need for some more factual information. And then the position we actually, some of us as individuals felt like we were in agreement, something like the Sensory Access Foundation, it's a tragedy to lose that. Mm-hmm. We would have, you know, thought maybe a resolution actually trying to see such an entity could be reestablished when the funding is available, so forth there. But we didn't think censoring them, you know, was going to, as individuals felt that it was going to be that productive, constructive in the way it would be the reaction to it. But none of us are happy about what the outcomes with all these cuts. They're absolutely not. And would like something positive, like to get something like these agencies reestablished when the funding's available. And maybe from the flaws or things that everything's nothing is perfect, that maybe the new entity would even be a more better group. So thank you.
Okay. Do we have anyone else for?
Sheila Gunn Cushman. I'm not a client anymore, but I have been in the past. And what angers me and what makes me think that this resolution should pass, I hear what people say about not enough details, but what I feel is that blind people are suffering, and blind people who work for agencies are suffering. I have a friend who works for the Valley Center for the Blind in Fresno, and they probably had rehab monies too, and they've probably been hit with this, probably a lot of ILCs, a lot of places, and people are being hurt. And what I resent is, it's fine for, you know, the government's going through hard times and blah blah blah, we all are, but I sure resent the government going through hard times and then taking it out on us. And that's not going to be tolerated, at least by me. And I don't know how we take care of that. If not with this resolution, then I want it taken care of some other way. Thank you.
Okay. And do we have another?
I heard Jerry.
Yes, I heard Jerry over there.
We make an amendment to the.
Well, wait a minute. Jerry, do you want to let Kathy recognize Kathy for her amendment, or do you want Jerry had the floor first? If it's up to him.
No, sure. I'm not gonna fight for Kathy. No, that's fine.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead and propose your amendment if you so. All right. Well, Ed will also be recognized. Jerry and Ed both.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's appropriate to amend this recommendation. I don't know if you can.
You have to amend the motion, Kathy. The recommendation is the
motion. Well,
the
motion has been made. They made a motion from resolutions, did they, to not pass this. Is that correct?
No. I don't want a negative motion. So the motion is to pass the resolution. But you can move to amend in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you what you're amending.
Well, here's what I want to do, and you fix it up. You're the lawyer. I'm not. I wish to amend, fix, propose, do whatever it takes to say that we we are having it to pass the resolution. Okay, that this resolution be passed and that a. But I don't want it to say what it says.
You don't have to say that. You just propose your amendment and we'll figure it out.
I want to have us to have the resolutions committee immediately prepare a resolution asking for the Department of Rehabilitation to change their policy as fee for service and return to the contract, which was much more favorable to the their mission to employ blind, visually impaired, hard of hearing, and other disabled people.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment to my motion.
That would be completely changing the motion.
Jeff, may I speak?
Kathy, need clarification first, and then I'll let the chair speak. Are you suggesting that? Are you suggesting that the resolve clause be changed to do this? Are you suggesting that because the committee can't just write a resolution and then send it out. So what? So are you suggesting it would be referred back to committee for action at the next convention, or is that, or are you referring to them just doing something right now?
No, it has to go back to the. Okay.
Okay. So the amendment is to refer back to committee for presentation in the fall, on the basis of looking at the idea of returning to case services contracts with respect to employment services for persons who are blind or vision impaired. Correct?
Correct.
Kathy? Okay.
Yes.
So there's an amendment, and I heard a second. Is there further discussion now only on this amendment?
That was accepted, or was that accepted by the...
Doesn't need... Oh, it was accepted.
I think it was accepted as a friendly amendment from the maker of the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Gabe and Roger. So now we are now on the main motion, and the main motion... Hang on. The main motion now is that the resolution be referred back to committee to draft something for the next convention concerning a return to case services contracts. Okay. Hold it. This is a point of clarification on the motion?
Yes.
Okay, there's a point of clarification on the motion, and I'll recognize whoever it is. Is it Sheila or Ed or Jean?
Gene.
Who?
Gene.
Okay, Jean, go ahead, and then Sheila next, I think.
I'm not the chairs, but as a committee member, I don't think that the makeup of our committee, that we have the background to do this. If this is going back to committee, then as a member, I would like to see that our rehab special interest committee, or whatever the title is, draft something. Yes. And these people have the expertise and knowledge about it, and maybe Kathy could help us. Then bring it to us, because we don't have it.
Okay, Gene, how about this? The chair can consult with whoever he or she wishes to get this ball rolling, and to achieve the... I totally get what you're saying.
We need somebody to help us draft.
But I don't think we need to change the motion to achieve that.
As long as it's understood.
Right. I understand.
We don't have the expertise to draft.
No, I totally understand. I totally get that. And Gabe can work with whoever he needs to work with to get something to you guys, for you guys to deal with. Is that a... Gabe, you on board with that?
Yeah. Lena, you agree?
Yeah.
I'm trying to work my way out.
We can work with
position,
the two of you. The two of you can. We can work with that.
The two of us will figure out who we need.
Yes,
and to
I will certainly
to,
be of assistance
we'll work
in order
with
to.
Jeff, and we'll figure out who we need to talk to get this resolution.
Essentially, Gene's comment was that the committee needs to have the expertise they need through rehab services or whatever to draft something that is going to be that is going to suffice to be the type of resolution we need.
I understand that, but I want you to repeat that. I'm going to work with Charles Navarrete, who will go to that and try to start this there. We'll be there in June. We can already start to do something.
Okay. And what Kathy has said is that she and Charles Navarrete, who of course is on your committee and does know how to spell rehabilitation, unlike many of us. He and Kathy will work on this at the back committee, and so we'll have all sorts of a multi-frontal assault. You like that, everybody? I like that. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. Do we have anybody that wants to speak to this motion? I know we had Jerry and Ed. Do they still want to speak?
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay, Jerry.
I'm going to alter my comments very slightly because originally I was against this. What I'll do if I can have your indulgence for a minute is to give you some history, as I understand it, from the department, just for the further research of this committee. The original intent of the abolishment of the contracts for fee-for-service was, number one, to supposedly level the playing field. Historically, contracts were given to large organizations that have years and years and years of experience with the department. And what happened was, other agencies that didn't have that kind of experience or those kinds of relationships were getting frozen out. So this coincided with a sense from the department that all agencies, not just agencies for the blind, but independent living agencies and so forth, should be evaluated and rewarded, so to speak, on a performance basis. That agencies whose employees could deliver the goods, who could deliver the services, would be provided with a set amount of money for specific kinds of services. And each fee for service was slightly altered to meet their, you know, the group's particular needs. I do believe that the fee for service structure for blindness related agencies were different from, say, a job development agency. Anyway, they were all specific amounts for specific kinds of performance. And so what I was concerned about with this resolution, and this is something you want to look at from the committee standpoint. Number one, it's very, very difficult to prove that the department conspired intentionally to drive agencies out of business, that this was done, you know, through some secret meeting, through some cabal, and that's how it happened. Whether it actually worked or not, the whole intent was to encourage counselors to seek out agencies that they felt provided good performance, and that and refer to those agencies. And on the agency standpoint, to meet with members of the department to provide them proof indicating that they could actually deliver the goods. And that's what the whole fee-for-service business was, especially, and as I said, this coincided with the state of the economy in California, that contracts were deemed to be pretty inefficient, and that a fee-for-service was both more fair and more economically feasible.
Okay, you have one more speaker. All right, do we have any other comments on the resolution?
Yeah, point of order, we have an amendment on...
The amendment was already adopted as a friendly amendment, so we're now voting on the resolution. The motion is amended.
I call for the vote.
Second.
We already have a second. We have a call for the question. Sorry. We have a call for the question. All those...
There was a request to restate the motion.
Oh, sorry. The motion is that the resolution be referred back to committee and that the committee draft a resolution to be presented at the fall convention concerning the need to return to case services contracts to ensure, viable employment services for persons who are blind or visually impaired, essentially. Bottom line. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No.
Abstentions? Okay, we have a couple of no's, a couple of abstentions, and a majority of at least 3/4 who have passed the resolution. Now we will go on to resolution number 3.
My turn.
Okay.
Resolution 2010-A3, the repeal of California Government Code 4459-A, and I will warn you, this is submitted by Gene Lozano.
I'm not the only one, Gene, see? I'm not.
Code 4459 lowercase a. Okay. So, whereas in 1999, the California Council of the Blind had SB 1242 introduced to require that, quote, The Department of General Services develop regulations that would ensure that braille, tactile, or visual signage for elevators, rooms, spaces, functions, and directional information is installed and would authorize the department to use the account for the purposes set forth in existing law, end quote. And whereas this bill went through extensive amending which broadened its scope to include, but not be limited to, quote, buildings, structures, and facilities occupied 50% or more that are leased, rented, contracted, sublet, or hired for periods exceeding 2 years by any municipal, county, or state division of government or special district be made accessible to and usable by persons with disabilities, end quote. And whereas, under the threat of the bill being lost, the disability community was forced to accept the amendment that brought about California Government Code 4459A. This subsection requires that, quote, the division state architect shall develop amendments for building regulations and submit them to the California Building Standards Commission for adoption to ensure that no accessibility requirements of the California Building Standards Code should be enhanced or diminished except as necessary for, one, retaining existing state regulations that provide greater accessibility and features, or two, meeting federal minimum accessibility standards for the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, as adopted by the United States Department of Justice, the Uniform Federal Accessibility Standards, and the Federal Architectural Barriers Act, end quote. And whereas SB 1242 became law on September 29, 2009, with the 4459... 2000, I apologize. It's there. Okay. With the 4459A amendment, and whereas until recently 4459A has not posed any barrier in the amending of California Code of Regulations, Title 24, Part 2, Chapter 11B, Title 24. Whereas the Department of General Services, DGS, has recently issued an interpretation that as a result of 4459A, Title 24 cannot be amended beyond what is in the Americans with Disabilities Act Access Guidelines, 1990. And whereas, as a result of this DGS interpretation, the Division of the State Architect, DSA, will not entertain any amendments to Title 24, such as the introduction of a visual color contrasting formula for signage, stricter stair striping requirements, etc. Now, therefore, be it resolved, that this organization seek a legal opinion regarding the Department of General Services, DGS, recent interpretation of Government Code 4459A, which states that the Division of the State Architect, DSA, cannot go beyond the Americans with Disabilities Act Access Guidelines, ADAAG, 1990, adopted by the U.S. Department of Justice. And be it further resolved, that the Council seek a legal opinion as to whether Government Code 4459A conflicts with the public right of redress to the Building Standards Commission regarding the utilization of a public agency charged by existing statute that conflicts with the AB 47 code appeals process, and be it further resolved that the Council identify a state legislator who will communicate with the California Attorney General's office to request that they advise DGS whether 4459A violates the civil rights of persons with disabilities. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
All right, you've heard the resolution. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Whatever it says,
wait. Abstentions?
That was the committee's feeling, too.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. I don't know whether it was Gene's writing or Lena's reading, but it sailed right on through.
Good teamwork.
All right. Next resolution.
And here we go with a second Gene Lozano resolution.
Hey, guys, don't groan. If I was reading these, we'd be here for a lot longer.
Resolution 2010-A4, access issues with the Sacramento International Airport, the big build. And this is 4, not 5. Whereas the Sacramento International Airport is currently constructing a new facility to replace the existing Terminal B in or before 2012, and whereas the airport's architectural design team's primary focus is on the new terminal's aesthetics and its environmental building construction, and whereas the design team is committed to meeting the minimum federal and state access requirements with a few exceptions, and whereas the team is proposing the installation of raised crosswalks between the terminal's sidewalk and its parking facility that would have yellow detectable warnings at both termini to delineate the separation of the hazardous hazardous vehicular way from the walkways. Sorry. And whereas the team has decided to ignore the requirement that there be a contrasting sound between the detectable warnings and the adjoining walking surface, as required by California Code of Regulations, Title 24, Part 2, Chapter 11B, Sections 1133B 8.5 and 1121B 3.1 8A. And whereas throughout all current airport facilities there are existing detectable warnings that do conform with the contrasting sound requirements, and whereas the team has decided to use a product known as Techway Dome Tiles, Techway, which does not have a sound difference. Sorry, it just switched to grade one on me, so. And whereas the proposed use of Techway would fail to meet the construction concept of standardization and uniformity as to the type of detectable warning material used throughout the airport. And whereas the Sacramento County Disability Advisory Commission finds this decision unacceptable, and whereas in response to the commission's objections, the design team is offering a compromise to specify Techway and one other sound-producing detectable warning material when issuing a request for bids, and
there's a lot of blank lines.
Yeah.
It's way down there.
Like, what is this? Okay. Now, be it resolved that this organization explore its legal remedies in stopping the installation of Techway and any other detectable warning products that do not meet the California Building Code. Okay, yeah, that do not meet the California Building Code.
Okay.
The committee recommends a do pass and ISO move.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Gene, I would like to propose a friendly amendment to the committee. there is which I can't officially do as presiding officer, but I will throw it out there, and maybe you'll want to do it, or maybe not. There's a clause that they have. They're only going to do the minimal. They're committed to the minimal federal requirements, with a few exceptions. I'd rather say, instead of with a few exceptions, while ignoring additional state regulatory requirements.
That's acceptable to me.
Okay, thank you. So we will. That was a friendly amendment. And with that, is there discussion?
Jeff, can you repeat what you had said?
Well, there? I was going to get rid of with a few exceptions and put in a while ignoring additional state regulatory requirements.
Additional state
regulatory requirements. I think that sort of sets up the remainder of the resolution a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get that note written in here as you had it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you repeat the resolve, please?
Okay, there's a request to repeat the resolve, and Lena will do that.
Be it resolved that this organization explore its legal remedies in stopping the installation of TechWay and any other detectable warning products that do not meet the California Building Code.
Okay. Okay, there is a question. Roger put it so well.
I love your succinct way of putting that, Roger.
Suing the blankety blanks.
Sheila Gunn Cushman. So we explore our legal remedies and then what?
And then take action.
Well, if we decided we needed to do something, we'd have to go to the board of directors. And we would take it to the board of directors.
Maybe I'm an idiot, but since it only said explore legal remedies, it's like, okay, I found out that I can kick the pants off these guys, but then I want something in the resolution that says, I guess maybe this would be a friendly amendment, that there be something that says what we do once, or... and then do things accordingly or something.
Are you thinking, Sheila, something like explore legal remedies and take whatever
take appropriate action?
Yeah,
take
that appropriate would be satisfactory. Actions.
Okay. And that won't hurt. Is that acceptable to Gene?
Absolutely. I totally agree with Sheila.
In the committee.
Legal remedies and take appropriate action?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Roger lived in a purer time when no one agreed to anything.
Yeah. I think Kathy wanted.
Okay,
Kathy had a question.
We now have a call for the question. Any further discussion? I hear none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Great. Thank you very much, committee. We have another resolution.
Yes.
That's not from Gene Lozano.
It's actually from Jeff Tom.
My reputation precedes me as well.
Okay. Resolution 2010A5. Guide dog board member. Whereas state law provides that one of the members of the state guide dog board shall be a representative of the Department of Rehabilitation, and whereas recent appointees to that position, including the most recent appointee, have been departmental employees without experience as guide dog handlers, and whereas although guide dog handler experience should not be the sole criteria for the appointment to that position, the absence of such experience diminishes the level of expertise necessary for the board to most effectively administer programs under its jurisdiction. And whereas failure to appoint an employee who is a guide dog handler also sends a negative message to consumers concerning the department's view of the value of having guide dog handlers responsible for administering provisions of law. Now, therefore, be it further resolved that... Oh, sorry. Apologize. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge the Director of Rehabilitation to appoint a person who is a seasoned guide dog handler to the department's position on the state guide dog board.
Okay.
The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
All right, there's a motion, a second. Discussion. Yes.
It's our, it's my understanding that the appoint the person on the guide dog board from rehab is Tony Sauer.
No, the person on the guide dog board, it may be Tony Sauer, it may not be. It may be Tony Sauer or his designee.
It was. It's Tony Sauer and his designee, and he had put Tony Candela in there.
Right.
Now, Candela is gone, but still, do we need to do something in the resolution? Because the director, we better say that person or his designee, because right now we were saying that he has to be blind, and I don't think he's going to want to do that.
So the amendment would be that if he appoints a designee.
Yes, if he appoints a designee,
it should be a person with
experience with guide dogs.
Right. Very. Thank you, Kathy, for that excellent correction, because that's important.
Lisa Gordon, one of the nice side benefits of this resolution and resolutions like that is that the more representatives that have to be appointed from different departments that are blind, the more job openings that have to be filled by blind people.
Well, it's not really a job opening.
That have to have a guide dog handler working at the department, and the more sort of resolutions like that, the more they need to fill the positions with people who can meet requirements like this. I'm speaking
okay,
for it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? All right, thank you very much. The resolution is passed. And we will make the necessary changes in the whereas clause and the resolve clause, Kathy, and thank you for making that point.
Okay, thank you, Lena, for reading those. And we are down to the appreciation resolutions. All right, resolution 2010A6 is the volunteer appreciation. Whereas volunteers make the convention much easier and more enjoyable for all convention attendees, now therefore be it resolved that this organization express its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to the volunteers, including, and then parentheses include names here so that when this resolution is sent out, we can include the relevant organizations and individuals. Close parentheses. Who have made this convention possible? Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
You want to go around and get them?
And Jeff is involved in side discussions. I'll take over here. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? And the resolution is adopted. Okay, so we have one resolution to go. Back to Gabe.
Yes, sir.
Okay, a question, sure.
Mr. President.
We'll get them, one way or another. Okay, Gabe.
Okay. No, just,
Gene wants something.
And I think my mic is off.
Gene, I'm sorry.
Do you want to take my badge?
It's on, I think I just didn't hear you.
Okay, we've expressed a lot of appreciation to a lot of people that work very hard, and there's one person that I really want to thank very much that has helped us a great deal, and it's Mary Beth Randall in getting the puppy raisers to help out clean the relieving area. Mary Beth took this on her own without having to be told and worked very hard to do this. And again, I very much appreciate it and look forward for her assistance in doing a similar thing at our fall convention. So thank you, Mary Beth.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Gabe, last resolution. We're going to do some door prizes.
All right, so stick around. All right, resolution 2010-A7, hotel appreciation. Be it resolved, et cetera, et cetera, that this organization express its appreciation for the services provided prior to and during its spring 2010 convention by the staff of the Crown Plaza SFO Hotel, and be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. The committee recommends it do pass. I so move.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? All right, very good, Gabe and committee. Is there a motion to accept the resolutions committee report? There's a motion. There's a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Abstentions? Thank you. Okay. Yes.
May I just say one final word, Jeff?
Yes, of course.
With, you know, I had mentioned to you guys, I think, last spring that I was working my way out of the resolutions chair but not leaving the committee. So, you know, I think we found somebody that can do a great job in Lena. I'd like to thank her for coming on and assisting with this report.
Outstanding.
And, you know, thank you for letting me have served as resolutions chair. I'm not leaving the committee, but you know, with a little bit of luck, maybe you'll hear from just Lena or Lena and somebody else next fall.
All right. Thank you, both of you and the whole committee. Do we have any committee chairs who would like to say anything?
That never happens.
Okay. We'll get a mic out to you. All right. We have a few.
Okay, Artis Bazin, Membership Committee Chair. I would like to ask all of the chapters and affiliates to send the name of one person in your chapter who would like to be put on the membership listserv, because we do like to have some discussion on that list, and we also like to pass on things to that list. So find a chapter member who is on email and would be willing to be that liaison for your chapter and let me know. Thank you.
Kathy's next. Peter's next.
From the History Committee, I would like to request that any of you that have old documents that tell us something about the CCB, contact me at 501-357-1986 or contact the office and they will get the message to me. We're now starting to try to put all of the various documents we have, and we have a lot of them, but if you have an old volume of the old law from 1969, for example, or anything like that, we'd like to have it. We hope to, and I hope that next year we can divide the history and awards committees back to two committees like they used to be. I think I understand that it's helpful to have people who have some history be on the awards committee, but I think that could be accomplished, and it's kind of easier to have a chair, two chairs, than one person. You can sit on one chair, or you can sit on two chairs.
Okay.
But and one thing I'd like to point a personal privilege. First of all, I'm so sorry I couldn't get to the hospitality room to see you at all. It isn't like it used to be. It's very awkward to get around in wheelchair and meet people because you're so much more in the way than they are. But anyway, I didn't get to see you all as much as I'd like to, but I want to say that when you talk about somebody that volunteers that you can thank who makes a difference in your life, Daryl has been with me, and I tell you, I couldn't have been here without him. And Eric felt so badly about not seeing you all that he came for breakfast day before yesterday and shook hands with a lot of people. Yesterday afternoon he came back to spell Daryl, and I think he met more people than spelling Daryl, but he was everywhere and he loves everybody. He was so sorry he couldn't be here.
Yes, indeed. Congratulations to you and your family. What a lucky mother you are. Okay, Peter.
I'm going to defer to Bobby.
Okay.
We all know how you enjoy the exhibits. It's one of the highlights of the convention. But with what we would like to know, is there any way you find that we can improve it for your enjoyment. If there is, please call me at 818-399-6741 or Peter, give him your...
I can be reached at 415-990-9202.
All right. Thank you both. Another great job. I don't know who that is, but...
Edna
Young, okay.
Okay, oh, sorry. Let me give it to... Hold on. It's coming. Hold on.
Yeah, we...
Okay. I'll go all over the place now. Anyway, when talking and speaking of volunteers, I can't sit here and not say that my daughter has always been with me through all of the conventions, state and national, and she's not only mine. She helps any individual in the convention that needs. She leaves me standing in the middle of the floor to go get the apple. And I think it's nice to recognize that her name's Gail Brown, and she hangs out here for door prize, and that's all for it. She can go and has a badge, but no red dot. However, I want to say thank you to Gail.
Thank you, Dale. That is great. That is great. Anyone else?
Donna Pomeran.
Donna.
What? Oh, which hat am I wearing, Peter says. I'm wearing the hat of Chair of Governmental Affairs, and I just wanted to thank the entire committee, and our veterans are really doing a good job at mentoring and reminding on what things, you know, we needed to finish and work on, and Frank is awesome. And I want to mention Capitol Day. We talked about it a little bit at Governmental Affairs yesterday. We had a wonderful turnout, and we had a number of people that were interested in governmental affairs and aren't serving on the committee, so I was real pleased at that. But this year, Capitol Day will be on the 18th. If folks don't remember, what you need to do is touch base with Frank so that he could give you the details. If you're interested in coming, take it back to your chapters. See if your chapters could help subsidize your transportation to and from. And let me give the mic over to Frank real quick so that he can give out his phone number and email. Just one second. Here he is.
You know, whenever I get the mic, you have to take notes.
Hey, Frank!
Yeah. Yes, Jeff. I guess that means it worked yesterday. Since the office is going to be closed until Thursday, and I probably don't want you all to wait until Thursday to start letting me know if you're coming, my cell number is 650-576-4177. Don't call at 10 p.m. because Vita will get mad.
And we don't want Vita mad.
And my email address is frank.welte, W-E-L-T-E, at ccbnet.org. Frank.Welty.
How do you spell Frank?
Frank. No, okay.
I think the Capital Chapter bus is about to leave.
But Frank dot
welcome to the home.
Welty at ccbnet.org. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Any committee chairs? This is just committee chairs.
Committee chairs.
And then we'll be on old and new business.
Did you have a BSC thing?
All right. So we're now on old business.
Does BSC come as a committee chair?
No old business. We're now on new business. I think that Lena wanted the floor.
I just have one announcement.
I am speaking as Blind Students President. In Southern California on June 12th, which is a Saturday, the second Saturday in June, we are having a karaoke fundraiser. And we will be ordering pizza, and it will be $10 a person from 1 to 5. If anyone wants that information about the location, it's at a person's house, Mark Schaefer's house, please send me an email or call me. My number is 818-987-4325. My number again is 818-987-4325. And my email is Lena, L-E-E-N-A, .Salim, S-A-L-I-M, @gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. Sheila?
Sheila Gunn Cushman. Now living in the Bay Area and wanting to go to Capitol Day, I realized that unless I wanted to pay $40 to get there or $35 or something, I would need to organize a bus. So I am. I don't know how, but I am willing to coordinate. So if anyone's got any ideas, I'm thinking of something like picking up at a couple of agency locations that everybody knows and maybe one central BART station. And I don't know how the funding would go for this either. I have spoken to Frank about this, so we shall see. But I'm about to give a phone number, mine. My phone number is 510-276-7104, 5 and dime, 276-7104. And like I say, I don't know how to coordinate these things, but I wish Beverly Hammer were around. She's done it before. Anyway, I will be willing to do that.
All right. Thank you very much. Good luck to you guys. We want the Bay Area here if at all possible. All right. So, any further new business?
Yes, Jacqueline.
I have a question.
Jacqueline was first, and you were second.
Okay.
The Association of Multicultural Concerns want to invite you to our Mardi Gras celebration in San Diego at the La Jolla Marriott. It's going to be a fundraiser for our Lewis A. Preston Scholarship Fund, and his wife sits on our board. So we hope to be able to give out $500 in the fall.
Ooh, I will commit to being there.
All right. Jump the ride.
Outstanding.
This is Christy Crespin. I'm wanting to have you announce where the next two conventions are and when.
Oh, is it the 28th through the 31st of October at the San Diego Marriott.
It's in La Jolla. And
go ahead, Gene.
And there will be, it's been negotiated, Super Shuttle will provide transportation that costs $12 per ride, and they supposedly will not. They will also pick up not only from the airport, but from Amtrak, San Diego Amtrak, and Greyhound depots. And then the other one would be the Doubletree in Sacramento, and if I remember correctly, that's May 11th through the
15th
of 2011. May.
Yes.
May.
We'll have a nice spring picnic.
And the week before is Mother's Day, so it's not conflicting with that at all.
And we hope that
it's the week. It's the weekend after.
What was that?
Right during the middle. During the middle of them. Okay. Any further new business? Any new business? Oh, Kathy. Okay.
Well, excuse me, just Jeff.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gene.
The date of May 11th to the 15th is the only choice we had. There was no other choices.
At that low rate.
That's all we could get for that low rate of $93.17.
Okay, now Kathy.
This is new business about an old thing, okay? Jeff, this has been a very fine convention, and Gene, you did yourselves well with this program. It's been very good. I wish, though, Jeff, you would quit calling yourself a lame duck. Because when you leave the podium this fall, there's a lamer duck than you ever thought about being. That's me. I go off the board when you do.
So we're going to get into that, Kathy, in the fall.
In the fall, after we get through there at the end of December, really, Jeff, if you got to call us a lame something, we don't got to be a duck.
Well, yes, a disabled duck.
Jeff is a disabled duck.
It's probably the 12th through the 16th, we are told, actually. 12th through the 15th. Okay, of May. All right, any new business? Any further new business? All right, do I have a motion to adjourn until San Diego? There's a motion, a second. All in favor say aye. All opposed, and forget the abstentions. We adjourn. Thank you.